Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barn Doco. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast and worldwide via the internet. You can catch us live on the Chief Sports Network app. It is a free download. This is a free show. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax reporting live from the upstate of South Carolina, cutting through the orange fog right here in the back door of our friends at the Valley. And he is JC Sherbert from Points Unknown, Chili Points Unknown. Might actually get a little bit of some winter weather here, JC. Not that it'll be anything near what y'all get up there. There is no lake for a lake effect snow. No body of water around here.
Through the orange fog, they don't have lake effect snow over there.
I don't think so. No. And I would, I actually drove over Hartwell the other day. We went to Helen, Georgia, and the lake was a little low again. It was very low. I don't know what's going on. So doesn't feel like a drought, but it looks like one out there. So I don't know. Maybe they're drinking it all up, taking all the water in. They're very well hydrated.
Recruiting town for it's guys from the north. It's right. Lake effect snow over here in Hartwell and Keeley.
Kiwi. I could only imagine lake effect snow. It'd probably be like the color of, you know, red clay. It'd be tinged red.
It's like that beach mountain snow. They just blow it, you know, for secret
snow machines.
Our friend that was in the Air Force, you know, that also has claimed he's in the CIA and everything else. He's over there hiding clandestine. With a snowblower with a tiger paw on the side of it.
Yes. All right. Kimmy Dabo. Bye.
What was your charge, Mr. CIA man? Well, I just did it for a pound of bacon wrapped shrimp and some Bitcoin.
Bacon wrapped shrimp and the latest meme coin. Yes.
What a good guy. Anyway, we love him. $20. Hell, we love him. Yeah, $20. Can you Venmo me $16? 16. Anyway, there's a lot of old school alcohol chatter going on in the ITG chat box. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barn Doco Company. We've smorgasbord day, so we're in a good mood because we get to talk to Alex Jones, the pride of Hampton County. I also have something to kind of get him on today. We do not have a VHS date, but we do have something kind of interesting. So I just want to kind of stump him, get him off track. That's what we do here on the show when we have Alex on. Matt doesn't do that with him. And the other shows, they don't do that with Alex.
No, they treat him like a professional. Let me
this is not the most professional show in the world.
We are professionally unprofessional around here. That's our
professionally game. Unprofessional. That's what you get here on the show. So it is smorgasbord day. Did want to read through this, the ITG chat box for Club Chief members. By the way, we passed 100 Club Chief members.
I know, 100 Club Chief members, 17,000 subs on YouTube. Thank you on to YouTube. Everybody.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I was begging for subs, like, and that's free. You know, you just click the subscriber button because I was looking at our numbers and 59% of our audience are not subscribers. It's like, well, it's free because we were close to that 17,000, and I'm weird. I think that, so to me, like you compare 6 and 5, that those numbers are close together. But like to me, 7 and 6, even though it's not mathematically, and I know your mathematic brain will just explode when I say this.
No, I get it because there's a perception. You're
like, what a dumbass. But yeah, 7 to me is higher than 6. And it's probably because like the rivals rivals.com recruiting ranking, numerical recruiting rankings, because everything's 5.5, 5.6, 5.7. And then if you're a 5.7, 5.8 gets to 4 stars. So 7 to me is a super duper high number for whatever reason. I don't know. So the 17,000 looks better than the 16,000.
Yeah, definitely. When I pulled it up this morning, or no, it was last night, I was posting some videos. I was like, hey, look at that. Yeah. 17. That's hot.
I also think it's because missed extra points are ugly. And our 2 field goals and no touchdowns on 2 drives are ugly. So 6-0 and, you know, and I don't know. Even in baseball, 6, like you score 6 runs. It's like, well, you know, 6 runs. seven. It's like, ooh, seven runs. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe I'm just weird. So anyway, thanks to everybody that did that. So in the ITG chat box, three crystals are is 10 bucks now, Craig said. Yeah, inflation. And get this, the beef shortage thing. I'm like, what? Why is there a beef shortage? We didn't have enough cows.
What? Someone needs to fix the cow birth rate problem.
What are you? All the crazy crap going on in our world right now. The fact, yeah, because I thought it was the lunatics from Europe, the climate people, you know, in a way, because they're convinced that cows flatulating is destroying the world, and which is there's only like certain models and hypotheses and theories that say that. I don't think so. I mean, a cow, I mean, you know, whatever. Yeah. So initially I was like, well, these daggum people, blah, blah, blah. And then I read deeper into it and it's not that. It's just because of a low cow birth rate in the United States.
It really is a low cow birth rate.
It really is.
Somebody
I guess cows can only have one at a time too. So you got to kind of, did the male cows lose their libido? Speaking of Alex Jones, did they drink some water and all of a sudden just like the boy cows now? Ah! I mean, what? That's not our beloved Alex Jones. It's the other one. But
there's a great episode of South
Park. Why is there a beef shortage? It would be a great episode of South Park. So I'm like, and that's why ground beef is so expensive. My stepson, my youngest one, he's on this, he's trying to lean up and, you know, he's done with football now, lean up and get cut. And so he's only eating 90-10 ground beef, which is expensive. But I understand it probably takes a little more effort to get all the fat out of it. And you don't get as much pound. So that stuff's expensive, dude. He goes through a pound of it almost a day. So it's $10, $70. I used to go to the grocery store and not give a flip about it. I never even looked at prices. It's like,
right.
Those things were just in abundance and cheap. Now I'm like doing math, which is bad, obviously. Those seven's better than six.
I spend half my day on Sunday going to different places, right? Because they're all kind of
tight. That's how my granddaddy was.
Yeah. I'll go here for this. I'll go there for that. I bought a Sunday paper the other day, JC. I spent $4 on for a freaking Sunday paper. There were zero coupons in it.
No coupons in the Sunday, but no wonder that industry's dying. Like,
no wonder. Yeah.
Joe Sherbert, rest his soul, the late great Joe Sherbert, the best saver I've ever known in my life. Mm. I guess when he retired in the 90s, got $100,000 to retire on. Mm. And when he passed, it was way more than that. Yeah. Made some very smart investments, but he was a big saver and he was in charge of buying the groceries, and he would get the Spartanburg Herald Journal and clip the coupons and go, because he was a food rep for Kraft. So you have to understand, it's also in his wheelhouse. He spent a lot of days stocking and going and making sure all the Kraft and stuff was stocked at the grocery store. So when you're immersed in that world, obviously, you know a lot about it. He would clip and he'd drive from food lines. This just cheap. This is on sale. And he hit all the sales. And man, that grocery. I bet my grandparents, who ate like kings, because my grandmother was a great cook, ate like kings, dude. Balanced meals. Gosh, just nothing better than their cooking. I bet they spent no more. I bet when they spent $18 in a week on groceries, that was a high.
You got Sunday dinner with a pot roast and everything, you know. Yeah, that's what that sounds like to me. My grandparents were the exact same way. Yeah, it's just like there was.
I wish I could learn. Lacking. So, Phil, you've been my friend for what, 20 years? That just makes me like you even more. It reminds me of the great Joe Sherman.
Awesome,
my man. Awesome. There you go. I keep telling my wife I'm going to do that, but I am impatient. I don't have the patience to do it. And I'm like, screw this. It's I kind of need like a blinder on, just go to Aldi's. If you just need basics, go to Aldi's. But the other day I go in there and I can't find breadcrumbs for the meatloaf on Meatloaf Monday. And that's the life you live when you go to Aldi's. You can't find stuff.
some things aren't there. That's right. Other
place. It's just it's something. But I'm gonna start. I'm gonna want to be like you, Phil, and my granddaddy. So anyway,
it's a little easier down here. The pace of life's a little slower. I can only imagine going to four grocery stores up there would be like. I'd be ready to.
Especially if you hit it during rush hour, you know, like you can't do because it's a suburb, so it kind of clears out. But
yeah,
anyway, Blake, the queen of the cocks, says you're a brave man to be throwing back rumple mints. Not since college, dude.
Yeah, that's been a hot minute.
A long time. Although my oldest stepson, before we flew down to South Carolina for Thanksgiving, he went to a Friendsgiving and he's like, this peppermint stuff. I was like, Rumplemints? He's like, yeah. I could smell it in the car, dude. I was like, Rumplemints and Goldschlager. So,
oh my god.
Ben would buy Mad Dog 2020 Phil crossover merch. Well, that can be done.
All right.
Matt says we need to rename it the Old English Chat Box. And then TD asks, what about Zimas? I used to be all about Zimas. I've gone through two phases in my life I'm not proud of with regards to alcohol. Well, number one was the Zima phase in college.
The Zima phase in college, though, arguably could have gotten you into some interesting situations with the people that we knew, though, JC.
And it did. I'm thankful for Zima at times. It's just I'm just not proud of it. Nor am I proud of the interesting situations that I got in many of those times with cuckoos for Cocoa Puffs. But and then during the pandemic, I started drinking a White Claw.
I remember that. Yeah,
you'd sit out on the porch in the heat, and it does get hot up here in the summer. And my beer would get hot because I'm just sipping on it. So there's nothing else to do. I would literally sit out there, watch the turtles paddle around in the pool, listen to like concerts, and sip. And my beer would get warm, and I don't like to put ice in beer. Some people do, and so I switched to White Claw because you drink it with ice, and boy, never mind, it had more alcohol in it than beer. That was not good. And then one day, I just switched back to beer. Just drink White Claw sis.
Going back to my roots.
Not proud of that either. But anyway, Matt Brinson's Everclear. Matt also said with the Clemson snowblower, that's meth, it ain't snow. That's meth. Hey, Fruit says 2.5 inches of snow Sunday in Columbia. My goodness.
Yeah, it's interesting. Go get
the milk and bread. Milk and bread. Why do people buy it? Somebody in the chat box, I don't want to be off topic for too much more longer, but somebody in the chat box, let me know why people buy milk and bread. I don't understand it.
Milk toast hits.
Curtis mentions about the spring game, too much risk versus reward. Have a skills event like a mini combine. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And fan appreciation day. Chaco says, and we'll get into basketball here in a second. I mean, well, right now.
No, sure.
That was a tough watch last night. Not sure what Coach Paris has going on. Shake my head. Yeah, he's running into what every other coach has taken this job since Frank McGuire has. Not sustainable. Because listen, everybody that's taken this job, with the exception of Steve Newton, who was the result of a disastrous coaching search and who came in under one AD and first 2 years in the SEC bombed and had a lot of off the court. There was probation and stuff involved with that. I think NCAA investigation. And so he got punted after 2 years. Every other coach, Bill Foster had 1 year. He replaced McGuire. 1 year, we won 22 games with the NIT, which was a good accomplishment then. George Felton had an NCAA tournament team. Eddie Fogler had two of them and won the SEC, went back down. Dave Odom went to the NCAA tournament and then established the war chest of credibility with back-to-back NITs. Then it went back downhill. Frank Martin went to the final freaking four. Never went back to the tournament or postseason at all.
Nope.
Lamont ties the school record for wins, almost wins the SEC, gets back to the tournament in year two, and since then, here's what's happened since then. And look, I'm not going to sit here and just like with Mike Shula, I'm not going to – and this is different. This is Mike Shula, I think, was just in football. Clearly, that was a gigantic – that was the iceberg on the Titanic, right? The Shula plan. With Paris, I still think, you know, with different players, and keep in mind, getting the players here is his responsibility. But with different players, he could be an effective coach. I don't necessarily think they're just out there rolling balls out and saying, go do whatever. I think the problem is he put together a roster that's predicated on being able to shoot. And he said this, I'm not telling you anything he hasn't said. He said, the idea is when one guy's cold, you know, one or two more people, preferably two, will step up and nail the shots. Well, last night, Michi Johnson was hot. Everybody else was ice cold. And then I don't think anybody thought about or predicted that there's some games this team plays this year where defense is just optional. It's never going to be a great defensive team, okay? Let's just be clear about that. But in games they try, and I'm not saying that the effort's not there. I'm just saying on games that they get out there and hustle and, you know, seem like they're locked in to play D, they do okay. You know, other teams just – but the last night, there was nothing. There was nothing.
Nothing. No.
I mean,
both halves were not
– you let Nick Friegel go for 15-7? I mean, anyway. But I've said this for a while. There's a lot of other issues with men's basketball here, some of which are fixable. But some of which will just take something good happening and then actually building on it. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is the person that's going to turn this thing around is going to have a sustained deal. Like they are going to win and then use that to go win. I mean, look at Vanderbilt last year. Mark Byington comes in. They were picked last in the league. Carolina wasn't. They made the tournament. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
That's right.
Okay, they're even better this year. Okay, they used that to get better. I'm not saying the intent wasn't to use that to get better. It's not intent, it's results. So here's I was on my way to see Mad Dog and his lovely wife. I think the next day I showed up at the house and I actually did the show from Shea Mullinax, and it was the spring of 2024. I was on my way to Columbia. I stopped through Nashville and I watched the game against Arkansas in the tournament. Arkansas has this big inflatable hog. I think his name's Otto. It's pretty cool at basketball games. Great fans. Carolina beat them like a drum, 80-66. You know, end of the misery in Nashville. A big tournament win, 26th win. They went 26-6, tied the school record for wins. So the next day, Auburn beats the crap out of them again. And then the Oregon thing happened. I still think that was a bad.
I mean, I think tough draw.
If they could have a tough draw for the Gamecocks. Cousinard goes off on them. And then that's it. But since that day in Nashville, they walked off the court in Nashville, Phil. This basketball program on the men's side is 6-30 against power conference competition. 6-30. That's one half game worse than the baseball team's record against power competition last season, and they played 56 games in baseball. Now, this is over the course of three, you know, the little bit of the end of one and then a whole season and the rest. There's more meat on the bone. They are 3-21 in the Southeastern Conference against SEC competition. That is bad. Sometimes in basketball, you know, because you play so many bye games, and to Lamont Paris's credit, he's only lost one of those. But so your overall record, well, they're 10-7. They're having a winning season. But look at when they get tested against peer competition. It's been a minute since they've done anything. I mean, it's hard to be 6-30. Over 36 games in basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost an achievement, right?
Yes.
Now, there is an historically, like, record-setting SEC conference in there last season, right? But even then, like, you were a part of it.
But everybody else can handle it.
Right, I mean, you were a part of that, so you should have been able to also participate in that season.
I mean, right? Even LSU had a winning record and was, you know, NIT or could have gone to NIT last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, so could South Carolina, but you know, everybody else has handled it, and that's the thing. I mean, and again, this is you know, Vanderbilt football being really good this year. I think we all felt, And I'm glad because I don't have to, you know, number one, Vandy's not on the schedule next year. Number two, I don't have to sweat that because once you beat a team like 16 times in a row in football, they're going to come back to bite you at some point. Right. They had their best team. I get that. I understand Vandy football was really good. Carolina had a bad year. But Vandy basketball, which has had more moments than Vandy football, but also normally is not very good, right? The fact they hired the guy from James Madison that used to be at the College of Charleston, everybody's like, oh, okay. And then they've become what they are. And look, they're a private school. They do have some resources NIL-wise, but they don't have any kind of bigger budget than South Carolina. At least I don't think, especially not this year. I saw someone on X when we tweeted out those numbers earlier today for Matt Gamecock's show say, well, the NIL's last in the SEC. Now, it was last year. It's not last in the SEC this year.
No.
The funds weren't there. And so that's the problem is that, you know, and I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, I mean, look, 14 more conference games to go, but last night it was just kind of inexcusable that you don't compete harder than that in front of Mike Morgan and the good Lord and the Ozark Mountains and Sam Walton's ghost and Tyson Chicken Man
and the Chicken everybody Man. Else.
And that's in our John Calipari's team. South Carolina's played them pretty doggone well. 50 years,
I mean. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, looks like Cal's got him a great team down there this year, obviously, but I don't know how much of that is the function of the
dysfunction. I think they're really good, but just like any other team with a big payroll in college sports, dude, are a bunch of one and done types. And they don't have all one and done's, but, you know, sometimes they get their butts kicked. Auburn beat him by 22 on the road. I mean, at Auburn, which is who Carolina has to play next. So,
what's dangerous, I think, about this Arkansas team is some of these players' names that they have out there on the court are some you've heard like for a couple, 3 years. And it's not the one
they are older.
Least. Yeah, like that. This team might be prime for a nice run in the postseason. We'll see how it all plays out.
But now look, last year they got up off the mat and made it. They beat St. John. He beat his old nemesis Richard Pitino. Right. By the way, general manager for St. John's got fired. I think he stole $250,000 from the daggum NIL kitty and donated to Andrew Cuomo's mayor campaign. I'm like, why didn't you just light it on fire, brother?
You're going to take money out of the school.
To that guy?
You know? To give it a political campaign.
A guy that didn't have no chance of winning. Light it on fire next time, man.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you know. If you're looking for somewhere to stash a quarter of $1 million, I'll take a little bit.
Maybe go viral on YouTube and make some of it back. Wow. But anyway, that's unbelievable. But, you know, anyway. Well, anyway, the other unbelievable thing, I just said anyway like six times in a row. I got off track. Sorry we got off track. We'll talk sports when we get back, I promise. And then we got a quick segment, short break. Alex will be here. But hope you got after these wings for 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. They are a proud sponsor of Inside the Gamecocks, the show, the morning show, coffee, all the stuff we do here at Chief Sports Net. Also, if you haven't downloaded the Chief Sports app, please do. It's on the Apple Play. Good Lord. The Apple App Store and Google Play. Get all our shows there. Stream it from your phone. All that good stuff. We'll be back after this on the show.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. Be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
JT is so convinced that you SUV drivers are going to love the new Grand Cherokee that he's going to pay you $25 just to take a test drive.
And when you trade in your old SUV, I'm going to give you an additional $1,500 towards your new Grand Cherokee.
Enjoy the luxury interior when you take it off-road or when you tow your camper into the wild blue yonder.
I'll pay you to test drive and I'll pay you $1,500 on top of your trade.
And as always, you get the JT's Advantage Plan too.
We're serious about saving you money. JT's Jeep Ram.
Start something new sales event.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us. Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks of the show. Back here for a brief little segment here. But take it away.
Wait. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen anything public about this, but.
Okay. I was trying to find it.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. Maybe I'll just hold off. But I believe another great Gamecock has left us. But I had a respect for the family, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to kind of break the news here, right?
I don't want somebody to break news, so we'll wait, you know, on that once it gets out, because that's very sad information, you know, and definitely want to honor that person, you know, provided this is true. But I've gotten a few texts about it this morning, and I was just told it was public, but I can't find it. So if it ain't on the internet, it ain't true. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. Drew from Charleston said Rumplemitz is a gateway drug to AA. Hope's grandfather worked for John Morrell. I guess that's a meat company. Had some sort of meat at home. Ham, hot dogs, so much more. Yeah, granddaddy always had those Pillsbury biscuits and Kraft American cheese and all that. Mm. And Hope says, Hope's a bummer. She's trying to rain on the parade here. The chances of snow have gone down. Like, it's funny because, like, I still think snow, when it snows here, I'm like, except for yesterday. I'm always kind of part of me is like, oh, it's snowing. Great.
Yeah, snow. Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I love the snow. We haven't been getting enough of it here these past few years.
Yeah. Ben says it's hot board season for sure. Lamont Paris is a nice guy, but I don't think he's cut out for the SEC. This is the ITG chat box, by the way, or the old English chat box. Jamie can close that deal. Right.
Soon to be OE chat box.
He's got an OE chat box. Gamecock Depression said, never thought I'd miss Frank Martin. Frank Martin won. You know, here's the thing about Frank Martin. And I did think, as long as they found, you know, somebody that was better. And in Paris's year two, he was well on his way. I mean, you know, it took Frank to year four to get to the tournament. And Lamont's the only one that's ever made it in year two. It's a different time. But, you know, like Frank Martin, say what you want. Like, none of the coaches that have coached here figured out the SEC, which when Carolina joined the conference in 92, it wasn't exactly known for basketball like the ACC, right? And it really hasn't even been that great until the last few years, okay? It's not been a bloodbath. In you know, South Carolina, which was a program 18 years before they got in the league, that was a national power. They cared about basketball. That's why they built the new arena. And then they won the league What was Fogler's championship year? The sixth year they were in it, Carolina won it, beat Kentucky and all that. They were on their way. Growing up, Carolina basketball was, you know, football was one thing. Basketball, they got a chance to be great because they once were. But nobody's figured this league out. Dave Odom's problem fundamentally was he could not win in the SEC. They'd get in the NIT or whatever and blow through teams. They play the non-conference and win against really good teams. Nobody can figure it out. Frank Martin did. He had very few losing seasons in the league. What got him was the non-conference. And frankly, the stupid – I call it the stupid NIT rules. The NIT's dead, by the way. The rules for the NIT changed. Like they gave all these mid majors, and I think this kind of killed it. You know, another dumb decision. Otherwise, he'd like seven out of his 10 years there that he would have gone to some kind of postseason. He had winning records.
Yeah, if it weren't for the mid major auto bids or whatever they were.
Then the one year they got completely screwed because of the strength of the league. I mean. You know, he really didn't do a bad job. And, you know, everybody griped and complained about his recruiting. Well, nobody really can recruit here, guys and gals. And I don't care who they hire. You know, what you have to hope for is you get a guy like Binnington that can go find guys. You know, this notion that all of a sudden South Carolina is going to start recruiting the best of the best with any coach is wrong because nobody's been able to do it. But he could go find players that fit what he wanted to do. Wasn't always perfect. They weren't always good. But he did win. Now, I'm not saying I think he, you know, as far as letting him go, that was kind of in the works for a while. And there were a number of reasons for that. And I think, you know, and he's poor guy. I mean, I thought moving UMass to the MAC would be a good thing because the Atlantic 10 is kind of a tough league. They haven't done well in the MAC at all.
Yeah,
it's a banner year in the MAC. Miami, Ohio is one of the best basketball teams. I mean, it's crazy. So he hadn't done much at UMass either. And I do believe that there's a conversation to be had about the style of coaching and all that. But you do have to give the guy credit. This basketball conversation is fact-based, right? Yeah. And the facts are 6-30 against power competition. I mean, this is way down. This is way down. Frank's last team was 18-13. And won 9 SEC games. That means over the course of one season, they won 50% more games than this program has won against power competition since the end of the Big 26-8 team. And that's sad.
Yeah. Craig, the state has officially reported, JC, what it was you wanted to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So it is out there. Dr. Eddie Floyd has passed away. He's in his 90s. How old was he, Phil? 92?
Let's see. Doesn't say. I know he was. I don't.
He's in his 90s. It hadn't been in great health in a while. I want to say this about Dr. Floyd.
Longest-serving Board of Trustees member. Yeah.
Yes. There's people out there that, I mean, he was probably the most well-known BOT member, and a lot of people, because of their disdain for the BOT, would kind of just lump him into everything. And look, I'm not saying I agreed with everything the guy wanted or did. There were some decisions that he influenced during the McGee era in basketball that I completely disagreed with. But I'll say this. There wasn't anybody that loved Carolina more. There wasn't anybody that loved the Gamecocks more. There wasn't anybody that put his money where his mouth was for the University of South Carolina. And I think that, you know, as a people, as a fan base, as South Carolinians, as good and decent individuals, you know, we could all disagree with somebody, right? But also understand they're part of this greater family. And he did, he provided solutions and help and a lot for the University of South Carolina Athletic Department and the school in general. And he will be missed. And he's got a wonderful family. My heart breaks for them right now. But he is a titan of Gamecock athletics, if there ever was one. And the whole University of South Carolina academically as well. I pray for his family and stuff. But it's another tremendous loss for Gamecock Nation. Eddie Floyd passes away. So We'll be back with Alex after this.
. 2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on the Chief Sports app, the Chief Sports YouTube channel, and on our X accounts. Hosted by Rob Williams and Craig McMichael, talking the week that was and what's to come in the SEC. Join us every week for SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Oh, man, the building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com. Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions, proud supporters of your South Carolina Gamecocks.
Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. to the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network.
Do you like hot fudge sundaes?
All right.
It's the Gamecock Smorgasbord with Alex Jones.
Has someone you love been trapped in a haunted painting? This happens far too often. That's why I started Haunted Painting Touch-Ups.
My family was devastated when my grandpa got trapped in this painting of a spooky lake. Thankfully, the team at Haunted Painting Touch-Ups gave him a cigarette and a Nintendo Switch. Save some Donkey Kong for the rest of us, Gramps.
Now, I can't undo a witch's curse, but what I can do is make tasteful adjustments to ensure anyone trapped in there is having a wonderful time.
My nan was trapped in a painting being hunted by wolves. But now, she's got a can of Monster Energy drink and a Rip Curl t-shirt. Now that's Susan.
Having your soul stuck in a terrifying nightmare world shouldn't stop you from living life to the fullest.
My friend was trapped inside a picture of a spooky farmhouse. Then they changed the farmhouse into Hank Bonanza's Palace of Pleasure.
Call now for a free quote, or save some money by purchasing the mystery package.
I paid for the mystery package, and he just drew this gorilla in the background. I guess that's better.
This poor woman was stuck in a terrible storm. Then I painted in a big lizard. I'd trade lives with her any day.
I didn't pay on time, so he drew my mum drinking a bag of peace. Then I tried to pay him to fix it, and he just added a speech bubble saying that it's good. I don't want my mum to love drinking piss.
He said I had to do the ad or he'd draw me into a picture of Beef Jenkins.
I really did not like the look of Beef Jenkins.
I asked him, can you at least draw a cage around Beef Jenkins? And he said, draw a cage around Beef Jenkins, and then laughed like it was the funniest thing you'd ever heard. How is that funny?
Oh my gosh.
Has someone you love been...
Okay.
That's so good.
That's so interesting.
Just to clarify, this has nothing to do with the news that was at the end of the last segment. This was pre-scheduled. I never like to announce that somebody's passed away and then come back with the haunted painting serviceman, but it just kind of was, maybe I should have. Anyway, so Alex, what we want to know is, number one, do you know anyone from Hampton County named Beef Jenkins?
I do not, no.
Okay. And
you'd look cooler if you did.
And number two, if you were trapped in a haunted painting, what would you want this guy to paint in for you to make you feel better?
Oh, God. Trying to think. I mean, I'm thinking of some of the things I even saw in that picture. I'm like, I don't know if I want this guy drawing anything that I'm going to be in any haunted picture. But
it's a bad idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, I mean, the gorilla, the gorilla. Yeah.
I mean, I guess the gorilla could help me fight the phantoms off of the ghost. I'd want one of those ghost traps from Ghostbusters or the, you know.
Yeah.
It's like Harambe is your spirit guide. That's how I took it. I was like, oh, not, you there know, you go. Maybe that's not very, a bad way. Yeah.
That's very enlightened of you, Phil. I like that. All right. So that's today's thing that we want to trip Alex up on. It's Gamecock Smorgasbord time.
The smorgasbord, yeah.
So, all right, so we're going to start with basketball. Bad night last night. Bad season so far. 6-30 against power competition since the win over Arkansas in the SEC tournament back in 24. And here Jimmy has some interesting comments, and I want to address those first, and then I'm going to switch to Alex. He says, JC, you can't tell me we can't get a better coach than him. When you start selling tickets for $6 to get people to come out, it's time to get a new coach. They've been selling discount tickets to basketball. They sold discount tickets to basketball the year they went to the NCAA tournament. It's because the arena is big.
And it's $5 to me.
It's $5. That said, all I'm going to say about the coach is it's a bottom line business, and you can't keep losing like this. It's not just losing. It's bottom of the SEC type losing and continue on. I mean, anybody will tell you that. He did say you're selling tickets cheaper than you sell a drink. Yeah. Julie said once we're in Nike school, we're recruiting improved. Maybe. And then he says, I pray our new AD goes out and gets a new coach. I'll take Jamie Dixon over Lamont. Absolutely. Everybody would take Jamie Dixon's a hell of a coach. Jamie Dixon's home at his alma mater, though, at TCU. And
yeah,
I don't think he's taking South Carolina, man. You guys got to understand, I'm not sitting here saying you can't get a guy that can win or you can't get a guy that can do better than Lamont Paris. But if you're expecting Donati to go out and hire some big name synonymous with excellence in basketball and it's going to fix everything, number one, I don't think anybody's going to touch the job with that kind of rep. Number two, even if they do, they're going to face the same challenges everybody else does. You know, at this point, you've been through so many coaches and the same results have happened. You probably got to look in the mirror and dig deep and say, what exactly is going on here? You know, there's some little things here and there that I can pinpoint that need to happen, but what exactly is going on here? You know, and you know, and if you can go find a person like Dawn Staley, who's at like a temple or a mid-major kind of job that would take the gig, more power to you. But I don't, maybe there's somebody like that out there. You know, I think it's going to be another situation where you're kind of spinning the wheel of coaches and hoping you get a lottery ticket. You know, hope you're kind of hoping you're like Bama when they hired Nate Oates. You know, he was at Buffalo. So, you know, that's the deal.
I mean, the biggest challenge this program has faced is just being consistent or sustaining success. Like, I mean, you think about the Frank Martin year, you know, they had the Final Four year and then just weren't able to really kind of build off of it. And then 2 years ago, you had the NCAA tournament run, finished second in the SEC, but just weren't able to sustain it and continue to build off of it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's it. I just got an email from Steven, one of our listeners. He asked if those were real people or AI people. Those are real. It's a skit. It's a comedy skit, but it's not a real thing.
That'd be pretty cool if it was, or interesting if it was, though.
Oh, it'd be a whole lot cooler if it was, right? Yeah. So, you know, that's the deal there. So Hell Rooster actually mentions the basketball facilities are not competitive to the SEC. You need a new standalone building that connects to the CLA. Yeah, all that. I mean, they've sunk some money into the Coliseum, but I mean, yeah, I'd love for them to build a big operations center like a lot of schools have with a practice court for both programs and stuff like that. You know, that was kind of part of a long-term plan at some point, two different times. You know, there was talk of a new arena, a smaller one that you can monetize more. I don't know. Things around here, sometimes when you start dealing with the state, and you know, keep in mind you're at the mercy of them sometimes with these big projects, and they're trying to do the Williams-Brice thing, so I don't know.
I think we can have a whole show debating Colonial Life Arena, a full three-hour show and chat debate.
Yeah, And look, here's the thing about Colonial Life Arena. They need to optimize it for men's basketball. And women's basketball is a different sport. Number one, they're one of the best in the country. So everybody around Columbia loves to go to the games. Number two, the seats are cheaper. They're going up, but they're still cheaper. Number three, the fans are more into it. The people that sit close to the court are more into it. And it's just a different – you can't judge it like, will the women do it? Colonial Life Arena is a great arena for basketball. When the NCAA tournament first and second round came
– it was awesome.
Yeah, because all the fans were down there near the court. It was loud. It was full. It's a really good. I mean, and when it's packed, it's great. But they've done nothing to maximize
that SEC run that South Carolina had 2 years ago. I mean, that Florida game, it was a great environment, and they're pretty much sold out. That Tennessee game, where I mean, the championship was pretty much on the line. It was a sold out and great crowd. It can get full. It's just you got to win on the court, obviously. Yeah,
and then Alex, you go to the games. Matt's told me that he gets a crowd report from you at the games he's not at, and you tell him all the time, there's people here. There's a lot of people here. But when you turn on the television, there's nobody there. Yeah.
TV doesn't – I know that's a whole another debate.
That's a different debate, too. That's one of the little things you can fix, the arena.
Yeah.
Because what that does, it affects the perception. So other coaches, they don't have time to come to a game unless they've coached here, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have time. So all they do is see on TV, they're like, oh, nobody comes to the games, even when they're like a bubble team late in the year. No, thank you.
I remember Michael Shrewsbury, the Notre Dame coach, having his post-game press conference at the Notre Dame. He basically said that. He was like, you know, I saw all the students coming in after the game, and he said, oh, crap. And he's like, because he said when I was watching the games on TV, it looked like nobody was there.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. So I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is the losses are piling up. This team's not done much to inspire hope outside of one blistering half of shooting at LSU. Nice win, I mean, but they have to. They, you know, this thing's spiraling and circling the drain, and then it doesn't help with what football went through, and then what baseball. I mean, Carolina's on quite a negative heater right now in men's sports. And again, I know people are excited about the game tonight, Texas Carolina. I'll be turning it on, tuning in. There'll be a great crowd at Colonial Life Arena. More power to them. That doesn't help anybody feel better about any of this. Right? Yeah. It doesn't. I mean, yes, they're good. Well, what about the other three sports people care about? You know,
I think it was just the way South Carolina lost last night too. Like that game just wasn't competitive. Like Arkansas, like it from the start too. Like Carolina got it down to six there right towards the end of that first half, and then Arkansas pulled away, and it was not a game the rest of the way there. And it was just you turning the ball over. It was just sloppy, and then Arkansas. It has. I mean, you know, Arkansas is going to have the players because John Calipari's coaching, and he's going to get, you know, five stars and NBA talent. But I mean, it wasn't competitive for a lot of the night, especially in that second half.
Yeah. 16 turnovers last night. And then they shot like 20-something percent from three again. I've never seen anything like it. A team that's supposed to be based on shooting cannot shoot. It's unbelievable. And Hell said, Hell Rooster in the ITG chat box, this is the most unathletic basketball team I've ever seen in the SEC. Yeah, and look, there's one there. You can do it that way. You can be unathletic and out basketball teams in the SEC, and that was the plan. But when you cannot shoot and you refuse to play defense half the time, or you cannot, I mean, they're not going to be great on defense regardless, Alex. But I mean, last night they just didn't. I mean, the Vanderbilt game and the Arkansas game, they just they quit.
Yeah, I mean that team two years ago.
Y'all talk for a little bit. I have to jump. This is an emergency phone call. I've got to jump off.
Yeah. Go ahead. I got you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say 2 years ago, that team wasn't the most athletic team in the SEC, but they played defense. I mean, you had guys like a BJ Mack battling down low to get rebounds. Like that was the thing last night. Like you knew going into the season or from what you've seen from the beginning of the season, like, all right, there could potentially be some struggles from a rebounding standpoint when you go and face some of these teams like in Arkansas who have these athletic big men, but that really showed last night in some instances. And, I mean, you had a Colin Murray Bulls 2 years ago and last year who also battled for those rebounds. They're really struggling competing in the paint right now. And then that's kind of just leading to other things as well.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, it's just this game last night looked like what everybody's biggest fear was. When you're looking at this roster and that it's like, wow, this team doesn't really look like they have a big post presence, right? Yeah. And then it didn't help Butler not being on the court. I know he's not the, you know, biggest big man there is, but at least he's 7 feet of something standing there in the paint sometimes.
Yeah. the thing that would counteract that you're – lack of post presence is being able to shoot the ball, but that just hasn't been because if you're going to be able to knock down threes, and okay, you know, 3 points is more than 2 points, and you can continue to rack up the points. But I mean, when the threes aren't falling, it's going to be a real struggle. Like they, you know, I don't know what's got to be done, but they just got to find a way to be more efficient from the 3 point line and not these 33-point attempt nights where you're only making six or seven of them. Because then you're not just getting any offensive rebounds to build off of those misses either.
No, yeah, and I mean, you know, when you're talking about like. I mean, we've seen Eli Ellis looks like he wants to get a rebound more than anybody else on this team, right? Like, hey, why is your shooting guard down in there getting more rebounds than your big forwards are? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I know, I mean, obviously the style of basketball puts your big men out beyond the arc because they can hit shots, right? But it opens up opportunities, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. I love to see his effort, you know? I mean, and there's some guys out there. Like,
Mike Shrovjoms will get down there and from the guard standpoint and rebound. Like, Shrovjoms has been a really bright spot for this team. Like, he's been really good. Like, he'll do it all for South Carolina, but, I mean, he can't do it by himself. And you saw Michi Johnson last night. That was a good thing. There's a positive takeaway from the game. It was Michi Johnson scoring 29 points and starting to get back into a flow of it. But obviously, you need more than that. Then he was our only double-figure scorer last night.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's like Michi had a great game. Okay, who else did? Nobody. It's crickets. Yeah. You know? I mean, nobody.
You ended the night 7 of 30 from three, and you had, you know, just a whole bunch of one for threes, 1 for 9 from three, 3 from 6 from three from Michi Johnson. But it's just – I don't know what it is. They got to drive the basket more, kind of like they were doing in that LSU game early in that first half. They were driving the lane. The defense was, you know, condensing down into the paint and opening up those 3-point shots, and then you're knocking them down. But that's it just hasn't been consistent. That's going to really kill this team if they can't do it.
No, I mean, and here it is. The schedule sets up for another opportunity right around the corner to be able to look like you're okay. And then it's going to be, I have a feeling it's not going to be as bad as last season, Alex, but it's going to be an up and down ride that nobody wants to be on, right? Not like a fun roller coaster. It's like something that's broken.
One guy I want to see a little bit Yeah, the one guy I want to see a little bit more of is E.J. Walker. I thought he had a pretty good night overall. He seems pretty active, too. Like, he has some reverse layups and things like that. Like, see what he can give you in the paint. Because, I mean, it's you got to give something a try.
I mean, you know, if you're going to burn the kid's red shirt, use it. You know, like, put him out there. Like, put 30 minutes in, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's switch over to, you know, talk a little football here, because, you know, that doesn't depress everybody. what do you know? Have we officially confirmed that the Texas running back is on campus yet, Alex? What do we know there? What's going on?
No, he was scheduled. I haven't seen anything to confirm it, but I have nothing to believe that he's not on campus. Or maybe it's one of those where he gets in a little bit later this afternoon and it rolls into tomorrow. But interesting visit for him. Like, that's, and we've talked about that running back spot. They've kind of got that ideal number now with five. But, you know, I think when the more you think about it in that spot, you know, haven't signed a high school running back into high school classes, which is just that can't happen. But now you got Dixon from Ohio State and Coleman from Penn State that I think can kind of act like your high school signees in that class. And now you can go potentially with a Christian Clark, a guy who, you know, had a pretty good bowl game against Michigan for Texas and a pretty solid season, and has 2 years of experience as well. So a guy that can kind of bring some more experience to that room to go along with Fuller, Augustov, and Hal and those guys. So I think if you have the opportunity to get him, you absolutely have to, because I think he's got some pretty high upside as well.
Yes, the one position group that you can kind of focus in on, at least for this portal class, this transfer class has come in, that is not like win now. I mean, obviously these guys are talented enough that they're going to get minutes and, you know, and they're going to get touches.
Yeah.
But these guys, all three of them, assuming that, you know, Clark hops in, have multiple years of availability left, if I'm correct. Like, right. Yeah. So it is essentially like, you know, making up for the two classes essentially you missed out on under
Coach Blackman. Kind of balanced the room a little bit, because it was starting to get a little top heavy just from an experience standpoint, with Hal having a few years, Fuller having a few years, and Augustov. Like, now you kind of got a balance of upperclassmen and freshmen, which you really need in that room, for one, from a numbers standpoint, just because that's a room that could get banged up throughout the season, as we've seen at South Carolina the past few years. So, you know, that room, along with like an O-line, D-line type of room, the more the merrier, just because you almost can't have enough.
Yeah, I saw they're bringing in for a visit another interior offensive lineman, and I was like, all right, good.
You can't have enough. I mean, come on. About it a lot
here. You got to get your numbers up on there. Sorry about that, guys. I am back. Just had a family thing I had to deal with real quick. It's one of those calls I had to take, because if I didn't take it now,
there's no telling what it could have turned into.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
It happens, crazy. Man. No worries.
Yeah, you're mentioning Christian Clark. I feel pretty good about Carolina getting him. And how I kind of explained it today, see if you agree with this, pride of Hampton County. It's not that he's going to come in and be RB1 necessarily. Now, he had a really good Citrus Bowl, 20 carries, 105 yards, touchdown against Michigan. Looked good doing it. I think he's a very good player, originally from Arizona. But I would put him in the mix. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he won't start. I'm just saying he's not a pencil him in kind of guy. But he's very good. And he's young. And he's another young back. And they haven't signed a lot of guys at that position. So it'll give them six if they get him. But, you know, South Carolina's kind of known of him for a while. I know he just got in the portal, but I can tell you that he's been a guy they were kind of hoping would get in the portal for a while, so they like him. And so, you know, that's kind of my thought on that is that Coleman and Dixon, to me, they're both young. Coleman's kind of the youngish. He's almost like signing a guy from this class at running back, special teams, whatever. And that's the way I see it now. Maybe Jameer Coleman's the best thing since sliced bread. Who knows?
He's got a nice film, high school film.
I like him. Yeah, I like him. He's from Imhotep in Philadelphia. But, you know, that's kind of how I see Christian Clark right now. And I think what he does, it just kind of just makes – you make certain that you've got enough depth at running back next year.
Hmm. Yeah, again, like, you can't have enough running backs in that room. And he's a guy that, I mean, 6 foot, I think he's 212, 210, somewhere in that range. Like, can be a physical running back. And I think he could be a nice mix to what Howell and Fuller bring to that running back room. And, you know, I agree. I'd probably put him in the mix for that RB1 spot. Like there, but without a doubt, with what you have coming back in the additions, like, it's going to be a pretty healthy competition in that room. And I think if you're staying drained, that's kind of how you want it to be in your first year as you kind of figure out, you know, who's going to kind of rise to the top.
Right. So the Michael Smith situation, I don't know if you guys got that when I was
off. No, no. We just say, yeah, I started with Christian Clark and then, yeah.
So the report says he was just going to kind of not even go to Syracuse and come back. And I guess now he's going to go to Syracuse. So that leads to this. Jimmy, you're right in the ITG chat box. Smith cannot come back. Now, if I were him, I probably would have just said, well, okay. I said this on coffee this morning as well. I don't understand why Syracuse would want a guy that, number one, left in the middle of the season this year when he faced adversity. Let's just be honest about that. So he just walked off and then changed his mind. And now he's obviously, you know, wanting to come back to South Carolina. He's from Savannah, Georgia, which is a long way away. And you're going to just force him, basically, to come play for you? And Fran Brown, I don't know if you saw the sprints they were running after the UConn game. And I love Fran Brown. I think he's an excellent coach and a breath of fresh air. But you really think this guy's going to go give it his all for the people that made him go to the frozen tundra and play on in a basketball arena? I mean, is that what we think? Now, if he took money, different story.
Exactly. Yeah.
But my understanding is he just signed something, and I would have forced the issue. I'd have been like, I mean, because if you're going to spend money on this guy, you know, my position as if I'm Syracuse would be, he's never going to be happy here. We're forcing him to do it. No amount of money in the world, I mean, he's just going to take our money and run. Oh, take the money and run. So I don't know.
I can see Syracuse's side of it being that he has signed whatever he's signed, and you know, maybe they think they can get him up to Syracuse, and once he gets there and gets it figured out, they can, you know, he'll adapt or whatever. But yeah, I see there's so many different sides to this that I can see, and it's a sticky situation kind of all around. Like I don't know. It's going to be interesting to follow to see if there's going to be anything else that comes with it.
It's like an arranged marriage in medieval times. I don't love him, Father. You'll love him in time. Remember coming to America? I learned to love your father, but I do not love her mother.
Yeah.
Coming to America. Sexual shock. Anyway. But no, listen. You're right. I mean, I can go get a tight end somewhere. Speaking of tight end, though, so Brady Hunt's coming back. Maurice Brown is back. And I don't know that Maurice Brown finally, after we ask for that last season. I think in this offense, he's kind of a nice fit with his skill set. And then you got Mike Tyler, who they like. And then you have walk-ons. And Caden Ramsey, who is a different type of tight end. So what do you think they're going to do there at tight end?
That's going to be interesting to follow kind of this weekend to see if anybody shows up for a visit, because I think you need at least one in that room. And because, you know, from a tight end standpoint, like I do think Mike Smith would be pretty interesting to watch in this offense. If he was still at South, kind of be interesting to watch. But, you know, they've kind of gone after some guys. But I, you know, maybe even would take two in that room just with how Browse uses that offense. But it's been just kind of quiet from a name front so far in a visit standpoint. Obviously, Spencer Mermans was a guy. Randy Pittman, I think we talked about last week on here, would have been pretty fun in this offense. Yeah. Like if I was having to rank guys on a board or whatever, like that guy would be one of the top of the board guys. But I
love that guy.
Ended up going to SMU, but that's kind of the tight end I would target in the portal as a, you know, that kind of has his skill set. But it's kind of hard because not many guys have that type of skill set that are in the portal. And if they are, they're going to be very highly sought after.
Yeah. Is there pressure to get Ramsey out there faster if another one isn't found? I mean, injury may obviously bring that in, but you got Caden Ramsey comes in, looks like a really good, you know, young player. I don't know if that Reno guy is still around, but that's a big MF.
That guy.
With Ramsey, it would just be a little bit different use. Like he'd almost be that, especially as a freshman, I would think more of like a split out type of tight end, just because from an inline standpoint, he'd have to get bigger and stronger just because he's kind of that right now in that kind of that mix between a tight end and wide receiver. But I mean, I could, you know, I think just from a blocking standpoint, you may worry just a little bit, but I think he, you know, if it came to it, he could probably give them something from a outside kind of flex tight end standpoint. But that's something that you want to kind of see just kind of with from a portal standpoint, what they bring in and how it fits.
Yeah, if Ramsey's going to be a tight end, as Krager points out, it's 25 to 30 pounds. There are some coaches from around the state that think he's Mike Williams from Clemson. Like, he's a receiver.
Yeah.
Which they'll figure that out. I may not have had a lot of faith at one point that they would figure that out, but I think this time they will. And I'm not saying the tight end's optional in Kendall Brown's offense, but it's optional.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, they run a lot of 10 personnel and things like that. And then they use different types. Sometimes they'll just throw an extra offensive lineman out there. They don't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's not. But, I mean, Ben points out in the ITG chat box, Mike Tyler from Hammond, who they flipped from LSU, who played well when he got in a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was glad to see him get a catch against Coastal. They like him a lot. It's going to surprise some people. Great kid and a great athlete. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I thought he was kind of an understated recruiting flip. Late, and they kept him home, and I'm not counting him out at all. Harrison asked, is the tight end from New Mexico State not visiting today? I read earlier this week he was scheduled to visit. Well, that was some misinformation, wasn't it, Alex?
Yeah, he's not visiting. Yeah, that it got out there that he was, but that not happening.
I kind of liked him, man. Yeah, Morgan Wallen was his soundtrack to his daggum highlight tape, and he seemed fired up and caught 37 passes for New Mexico State. But maybe I'm overvaluing New Mexico State transfers because of the Vandy team that we
talked about. Eli Stowers,
yeah. Eli Stowers. But and so who knows? Who knows what will transpire there? Caleb Herring looks like the next man up at edge. I mean, Texas is supposed to get a visit this weekend, according to Chris Hummer. Will that visit happen? I don't know. Yeah. I think this. I think if you can get Caleb Herring, good. Caleb Herring is not a turnkey solution. He's more similar background-wise to like a Kyle Kennard. He's done what they call flashed here and there. So it's going to be up to Carolina to get the most out of him. But is he capable? Absolutely. There are some things that guy did as a recruit and that he's shown at Tennessee at times. They're really, really nice. And he's been in the SEC, so he's got experience. It's just a matter of having a great offseason, great spring, and getting ready to go, kind of like Kyle did. I'm certainly not predicting he'll be Kyle Kennard, but he's kind of at that point in his career. What do you think about Herring? And, you know, I would have said South Carolina's got as good a shot as anybody. And I do know there's confidence there, but you know, you got to just admit that Texas visit. I mean, anybody that follows this portal stuff, that has to kind of be concerning.
Yeah, I think he'd be a really nice fit, kind of opposite of Dylan Stewart on that edge. But just for what you mentioned, kind of close to that Kyle Kennard standpoint, like he's 6'5", 245. Like, I think a lot of what South kind of did with Kyle Kennard was kind of bring the best out of him and build off of that. And you saw what happened with what he did. And I think you can do that with Herring. Like, he's got the talent. And he's had those flashes, as you mentioned, with I think this year he had 4 sacks. But I think he can hold up pretty well against the run, too, in this defense, just from what I've seen. And from a recruitment standpoint, I think with him, it's just, you know, get him in this weekend for the visit. And, I think you have to imagine South Carolina's going to push for that Texas visit not to happen if everything works out. But you know, I don't think it's over if he goes to Texas. But, you know, you had to wonder just what would happen if he does go to that Texas visit.
Yeah, they're supposed to be So who knows? Who knows what will take place with that? I just know right now somebody mentioned Jacob Seaton. Gamecock Depression mentioned Jacob Seaton, the big tackle from Colorado. He's visiting Texas. Is anybody going to be able to compete in the SEC? Are we, you know, if we're talking about transfer portal accolades and ticker tape parades prematurely and all that, you know. Texas is going to win every year. But guess what? Texas won signing day every year in the Big 12, and they won 3 out of 20-something championships, and Oklahoma won about 16. Texas, you know, I know what they're doing. They're loading up, and by God, I'm not trying to downplay Will Muschamp's impact on that defense or anything. I mean, you guys know, I think as a coordinator, he's as good as it gets. But I don't think their defense was the problem this past year. I thought their offense was kind of they couldn't – a lot of the same problems Carolina did until the end. They couldn't block and all that good stuff. And plus, Texas for years is just kind of – they always tend to underachieve. So I'm not really worried. I mean, the thing, Texas has all this talent. Yeah, they've had the best roster in the country this past season, and they went 10-3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, yeah, but can people compete? Absolutely. Georgia, once Texas turned it around, guys, the Devils went down to Georgia. So to speak. Georgia beat them like the red-headed stepchild. They beat them like they beat them worse than they beat Kentucky. And that was after Texas had turned the whole thing around and was playing good ball. Georgia just beat them down. So,
yeah, it's interesting. It's almost
cower
like
in fear over the mighty Longhorns, right?
Yeah. No, they're like trying to take we'll do it like Alabama and we'll just stockpile in Georgia and stockpile all the talent on here. But the difference is that the previous era of college football, you were stockpiling young players.
And developing them.
Yeah, to develop them into these players. These known quantities, they want paydays and then eyeballs on them from the next level. And if you can't provide that, which Texas has got one of those in spades, obviously, money is not an issue for our friends in Austin. But the on-field product might not necessarily be enough to get them over the hump for the first round.
I mean, that's... To me, that there's never going to be an Alabama or a – you know who the closest thing to Alabama and Georgia are right now? And I'm talking about the Georgia 2-3-year run there, Indiana.
I was going to say Indiana. Also might put Oregon in that category just because
– Indiana without the recruiting hype coming in. They play more – they play dominant football like those teams did.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to do it because – they're not running into anybody that has all these guys that have been in the program 2 or 3 years at an elite level that developed in the, you know, Nick Saban and Kirby Smart when he was rolling, they didn't just take, there's all these 5 stars. We're taking all the 5 stars and that's it. They took the right ones.
Yeah.
One of the smartest things Kirby did was, I disagreed with it. I was skeptical it would work. They shrunk the in-state recruiting board in Georgia. Like they went from signing, Mark Richt would sign like 20 guys, 13 of them would be for Georgia. So they got not only the top guys, their share, some would leave the state. They would dip down into that level where like Jalen Kilgore under Richt would have probably been a guy that would have gone to Georgia. Wendell Gregory probably would have gone to Georgia. All those next tier guys, you know, that Auburn and South Carolina and Florida and these other Tennessee and all these other schools go get. Well, Kirby shrunk that and started going national. So they go about 10 in-state, and then they'll find 2 or 3 guys in-state they like that are off the radar, which Georgia's a big state. You can do it. And then they go national and just sign the best player everywhere else. I was like, I don't know if that's going to work. Oh, it worked. It worked big time. Now, with the portal and everything, you know, that formula, you can't stockpile them anymore. But it worked. Whatever they were – it worked. And so – and you just, it's not realistic to do that anymore because half of those dudes you're counting on in year three that you work them and they get a little better and a little better. And then boom, all of a sudden they're NFL guys and they replace the NFL guys you lost. They leave after 1 year for a payday and playing time, the 2 P's. I don't really know. Offensive line, you said they're going to sign another guy. I mean, tell me about this kid from Bucknell you reported about today. I'll tell you this. He's very interesting on film. I know it's Bucknell. And then guys like this that was born in England, apparently came over to the States to learn to play lacrosse or something? Or no, he's going to play basketball.
Play basketball, yeah.
And then got out for football, spent some time on the D-line.
He can move.
He can move. He can bend. He's got good punch. He's 6'7", 280.
Multiple years of eligibility.
Yeah. What say you?
Yeah, I think it'd be an intriguing pickup if he's able to. I mean, he's reported offers from Alabama, Auburn. Like, I think he's taking a visit to Stanford. I know he's been to Cal, I think, already. Like, guy that, you know, at his size, like 6'6", 300, somewhere around in that range. Like, a guy that, you know, at the very least this year could provide you depth, but then – I mean, with those years of eligibility, plus what they kind of have from a one-year standpoint with some of these guys. Like, he could be a guy for the future that you would like on South Carolina's offensive line. And, you know, we'll see from a decision standpoint. I'm not sure when he's planning to decide, but right now having that last visit could be big if you can get him to campus. But a guy that you see when you watch him a little bit, you see that defensive line background that he started at Bucknell for the first 2 years. Like, he can move and get to that second level. And, again, we've talked about that with this Kendall Browse offense. Like, these offensive linemen are going to have to be able to move, and seems like he fits that bill pretty perfectly.
John Strickland says, you do not say no to an offensive lineman who can play basketball.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
Man, yes. Urban Meyer agrees with him, too. I heard Urban on his podcast talking about him. But, yeah, give me that guy all day long. I don't care if he went to goes to Bucknell. I don't care what he's doing. Dude, then we'll have somebody from England, one on offense, and then Justin Okoronkwo.
And this Tyleek Lockett guy is pretty interesting that they're bringing in, too. Like, he's a pretty good player, too. That, I mean, it's going to be a battle for him, but, I mean, you get him in, anything can happen. But I think he's a pretty good player, too. I think I saw he was the highest-graded FCS offensive lineman this year. So, I mean, that would be another intriguing get.
Group of five. Texas State, I think, is
group of five. Yeah.
But he also quit after four games to redshirt. His dad is Telly Lockett, who's one of my buddies that's in coaching, knows him. Telly Lockett was at Florida State and some other place, from Miami originally. Miami Northwestern head coach for a while. But I like him. I mean, this kid, I think it's Tyleek Lockett. I like him. I mean, I'm sure that Shane Beamer and Darren Usher and everybody have checked into why he opted out. It's probably to save his extra year. Now, who are they battling for him? Rutgers? Isn't Rutgers on the agenda for Lockett? Who else, man?
I have to look it up. I can look it up real quick. I can't remember right now. So many of these guys in that don't remember. I looked up Tyler Lockett.
Okay.
He's got a few visits. Like, he's already been on a few. Then he's coming from, I'll say some random school and I can't remember, but they'll have him in this weekend, and then Adeyemi, the guy from Bucknell, is coming on Sunday.
Gotcha. So you got a bunch this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds good. Okay, Hale just reported, though, your buddy, that Adeyemi from Bucknell is not coming until is the 18th, so that's Sunday. That is Sunday. Yeah, God, it's already the 18th. Time's just flying by. Craiger says, give me 6'7", 280 all day. Size matters. Print the shirts. Yeah, they got Craiger's face,
300. Yeah, it was like, ooh, man.
Like a classic looking Craiger posed, like looking like their most interesting man in the world. It's like, Craiger says, size matters.
Craiger's going to find out where this guy's staying in his hotel and order DoorDash for him. Just random DoorDash.
Feed me. Anyway, all right, folks, I'm ready to roll to break here. We've kept Alex on the smorgasbord way too
long. We have. It's been a while,
though. We've exposed him to haunted paintings and recruiting and basketball talk. Good Lord.
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord. So, yeah, gonna be interesting. I got my, Caleb Herring. That would be a good one.
Got a lot to sell for Herring. I mean, the whole Dylan Stewart effect. Yeah. He's from Noonan, Georgia. Kyle Kennard was from Georgia. Used his last year like Herring would. Like,
but he played high school ball in Tennessee, though. Murfreesboro, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did. Yep.
But he's number one player in Tennessee. I remember him. I loved him. I mean, he's my kind of guy because he's a big, skinny DN that's going to grow. He's the type of prospect that would worry Craiger quite a bit because he was 205 pounds coming out. But the frame, sometimes those guys don't grow. Most of the time they do. But I loved him. And Tennessee got him. I was like, gosh, another elite pass rusher because they had Pierce and those guys at the time.
Yeah.
This dude, as he is now, would just be another inconsistent DN. But there's an off season, and there's coaching, and then there's lining up opposite Stewart and all that, that I think could really get him to blossom. So, to me, he's an important guy.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Listen, keep doing the good work at thebigspur.com, Alex. We always love the smorgasbord, and we'll holler at you soon.
Hey, see y'all next week. Appreciate it.
Hey, man.
All right.
Alex Jones, the Gamecock smorgasbord. That was a fun smorgasbord, even though it started a little rocky talking about basketball.
The pride of Hampton County.
Indeed.
Yes. All right. Shout out to Palm Casual, one of our sponsors. Shout out to Barn Doco. Maybe you can build a barn dominium and then furnish your deck with furniture for Palm Casual. It's pretty awesome. Also, don't forget Game Day Nuts. And check those guys out. Big sponsor of ours, Resto Pros of the Midlands. Going through them all now. GamecockTraditions.com for clothing. And Phil and I will be back to wrap it up on a smorgasbord edition. Kind of a disjointed episode of the show after this.
New year, right? Let the procrastination begin. You've done it before. Join the gym. Go for a couple of weeks, and then it's over. So here's our solution. Bring the gym to you. Do it your way, on your time, in your home. Visit Charleston Fitness Equipment and start where you want to start. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Have a healthy new year. Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost five decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our four locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Everybody has a time in their life when credit is hard to come by. Money is tight and it's difficult to make the decisions you need to make because of those challenges. If you make $600 a week and have a credit score of 450, JT's Automotive can help, even if you've been turned down before and given up hope. It's my job to sell cars while saving you money. We know how to get people approved, and I love making that happen for people like you. Give us a call and let us show you what we can do.
Today and every day, we celebrate our great state of South Carolina. This week, our hometown highlight takes us to the banks of Winya Bay, to beautiful Georgetown. Visit the Rice Museum the next time you stroll Front Street. We love you, Georgetown.
Hey, Georgetown, this is your Lowcountry lawyer and friend, Mason West at the West Law Firm. We love our folks in Georgetown, just like we do all across the state of South Carolina. And if you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt on the job, we're here to help. Call us at West Law Firm, 843-897-7525.
Show look good. And now back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show rolls on Thirsty Thursday. Just wrapped up the Gamecocks Smorgasbord with Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. We are, you know, I had a couple of things I wanted to ask you, JC, and then it all just came flooding into me at the same time. Oh, transfer portal, obviously, about to close here, or at least where, you know, and oh, this is, I did want to check on this. Hale said today, and if you, you have until tomorrow, through the end of the day tomorrow, to announce your intent to your school, right, that you are going to transfer. And then We may not know names, though, until Tuesday, given the two business day window that is allowed for the schools to actually make that known or officially enter them into the portal. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's still time. I mean, the cutoff is tomorrow, but they're still lingering. And the other thing is you can sign anybody anytime you want.
Yeah, now, yeah. Incoming goes, there is
the contact period ends at the end of the month. So okay. That may be a little problematic, but you know, these,
and then of course these Miami rules. Yeah, Miami and Indiana players would have what, 7 days after Monday?
Yes.
Yeah, make their determination. Yes. Do you expect or have you heard anything about potential names from the two national championship contenders?
I have not with regards to Carolina, but you never know what may pop up.
Yeah,
so you just don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Carolina's got, because of the new rule where you can carry 105 on scholarship now.
Right.
It's not saying Carolina will get to that, but there's some flexibility roster space wise. It's probably why they're carrying 6 running backs. You know, that kind of
thing. Right.
If they get Christian Clark, I'm certainly not saying that's done. I'm done saying things are done. I'm done Dundee and gone Gondy with it, Phil.
That's right.
I just got a text from a friend. You know, I gave the basketball record. This is really the worst time ever as far. And I'm proud of everybody out there for hanging in, because you talk about this stuff daily. There's still a lot of people interested. The fans are still engaged. You know, a stretch like this, if I'd have foresaw it 5 years ago, I'd have probably said I'd lose my business. You know,
yeah, right.
Probably have to go do something else. Like, nobody's going to want to talk about this. Since the end of last football season, South Carolina's won a combined 10 SEC games in all three major mid sports. 10 SEC games. They won 13 in men's basketball alone a couple of years ago. They frequently would win at least 15 in baseball. 10.
Dang, 10. Man.
And it's tough because, you know, it's crazy. Phil, I think that money has had a little bit to do with it here and there for some sports, but I don't think it's because, oh, they're in the NIL era and now South Carolina can't pay or whatever. I mean, they retain good players. I mean, it's in football. Here's what I do think. I do think money has been an issue in some sport, in men's basketball especially. They boosted the money this year, and it just hadn't worked out so far. It really boosted the money baseball quite a bit, and we'll see how that turns out this year. But it's just been a rut, and the problem is because of the timing of all this, the perception is going to end up being not only externally, but certain fans that, you know, are still trying to learn about all this, and I get it. they're gonna start saying, well, South Carolina just can't compete in this era, which is not true. I mean, it's right. Not true, but right. But by God, show me, right? I mean, you know, it's like,
what do you Christmas take
vacation? We're at the threshold of.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But do you take this narrative, or do you take, like, would it be more acceptable? Not that losing is acceptable in any way, shape, or form, since we talk about sports. But, like, well, the basketball team's up this year and the other two are down. Well, baseball turned it back on, but basketball and football suck. You know, it's like, is that more acceptable? Does that kind of
point in a direction?
Yeah, because any winning is good, right? Yeah.
Of course it is, because it used to be like, okay, you know, South Carolina, most years since Spurrier got to Columbia, you know, about 05, even during the Holtz era after 99. So if football was a little down, no bowl game or whatever, which rarely happened, then yeah, you probably have a pretty good basketball program that year. You would go, you know, and then everybody'd always look forward to baseball because Ray Tanner was just so consistent in a sport that's hard to be consistent in. Because some years in baseball, Vanderbilt and LSU both had really good teams, Florida too. In recent years, and they're sitting there around 500 for whatever. Texas A&M last year was super talented and didn't even make the tournament. for what, so what Tanner did in baseball was just so hard to do, that consistency. And he had a formula to stock his roster. In fact, I think a lot of football and men's basketball coaches could go back and learn from college baseball coaches, because they had to fit all this together with 11.7 scholarships for years. So they were having conversations about money way before the rest of these guys were, right? College baseball coaches. And Tanner had a great formula for it, and then he just had his teams ready to play. And so everybody always looked forward to baseball. Even in the baseball years where maybe they got beat in the regional, you never walked away from a season, even when, you know, maybe one or two right before they won it all. In 08 and 09, they lost some regionals. People were grumbling about it. They just won at NC State, won at East Carolina. And then they won it all, so everybody piped down, obviously. But, you know, you looked at it, and you never walked away from – very rarely did you walk away from a baseball season going, man, they just – this team just underachieved. You felt like, especially once they got to the postseason, Phil, and it was glorious, they would give every ounce of all they had to the last out, win, lose, whatever. And they won a lot in the postseason. They were tough as nails. They embodied the fighting Gamecock spirit. You know, and you always felt that way. So everybody always looked forward to baseball. For about 10 years now, baseball almost causes more anxiety, because you sit around and go, well, we once were great.
That one hurts, you know? Right? Yeah, because it's been, you know, 15 years, but that's, I mean, think about how short a time that 15 years is, right? For a lot of our shared experience. Like, man.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Ben mentions Ashley Chastain in softball is going to be ready to rest of baseball, softball, supers, College World Series. She's very good. Very, very good at what she does. And then he mentions Landon Powell and Mike Boynton. Yeah, I think if a change was made, Mike Boynton would be on the radar. So we'll see. But I don't know. You know, new AD, he has not had a major hire. He hired a hell of a beach volleyball coach, though. You seen this guy's resume?
Oh.
He basically is beach volleyball.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I saw
like the Dawn Staley of beach volleyball. Because I was like, why'd they get rid of the beach volleyball coach? I thought they were, you know, pretty decent. And so then I know why. He upgraded tremendously.
It's an upgrade.
So I don't know, you know. It'll be interesting to follow when we see it. But yeah, and I'm not saying, you know, hey, I'm not throwing dirt on Lamont Paris at all. There's no evidence, though, this team's going to turn it around. Unless all of a sudden they catch fire and shoot lights out. I mean, guys, that first half at LSU, I don't think it was a situation, Phil, where you go, well, this is the team. This is the team we expected. No. They shot 77% from three. Nobody expects that.
Right, no.
Right. And then they went right back. They reverted right back to not being, you know, back to the media. I feel bad for Paris, because they should be able to do it. And like Whittle has pointed out, they're open shots. I mean, and he can't go out there. I mean, he can put them on the bench all he wants, but he can't make them go play tough on defense.
Yeah.
You know, when they're not having a good day defensively, there's no digging deep, and it's just it snowballs on them.
Yeah, but that's the issue, is that the things that can keep you in a basketball game that, you know, you're not shooting yourself out of very well are the want to things, right? You have to fall back on your fundamentals, rebounding, it's a tenacious defense, and it doesn't look like this team right now, as it stands early in this SEC season, has that. It doesn't look like they can find that and dig deep when shots aren't falling. Like if the baskets are being made, then they're in it and they're doing everything they're supposed to. But if it's a little shaky offensively, they're just not doing the things that they need to do, and things snowball and completely get out of hand.
Yeah.
Or it did last night. Last night it was just terrible. Terrible, JC.
I was listening to Derek and Casey, and then I flipped it over on the broadcast because I actually forgot that Mike was calling the game. Yeah. I don't know why. Because I intellectually knew that up until about 2 hours to tip off. But I was laying there and I was like, I'll just catch the radio broadcast. I turn it over to the broadcast, and all of a sudden somebody from Arkansas goes coast to coast and jumps from about right inside the foul line and windmill slams it over. And just turn it back off and listen to Derek and Casey.
Never mind.
It's like when you walk, my dog walks outside when it's raining or snowing. He doesn't know until he gets out there, and he just turns right back around and comes in. Oh, screw that. All right, folks. It's been a great show. Thanks to Alex Jones from thebigspur.com for joining us. Again, thanks to all of y'all for subscribing to the YouTube channel, hitting that subscribe button. 17,000. That's awesome. I think when we started doing this, Phil, I think it had about 2.
I was going to say it was
a lot of growth.
No, it was less than 4. Yeah.
Yes. So we love all of our fans out there. By God, after the numbers crunch today, y'all are some hearty souls. Keep showing up. That's good. Because things will turn around. They always do.
Yeah. They always stay down forever, man. You got to come back.
And at some point in college athletics, if things are too bad, you just blow the whole thing up and start over.
Right? And then that brings with it a whole nother, you know.
Well, that brings a challenge, but sometimes that's in certain sports that's necessary. Football, you have to be careful. You have to hire the right guy. Because you just have so many players you got to go get. But other sports, do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, thanks so much for joining us. Yeah. Huh?
So if your roster doesn't have 100 people, then it's a lot easier to blow it up and start.
Anything under 100, it's get it out. Anyway, tomorrow morning, 4Quarter Friday, coffee. We'll have the show, the morning show, as always. And we've had a really fun week here. Appreciate all y'all tuning in. This is for JC Sherbert, for Phil the Mad Dog Mullinax, JC Sherbert. This has been Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Holla.